morning, and thank you to the visitors who are here to support me. Thank you, everybody, for coming. When Randy first asked me if I would be willing to give a sermon, I immediately said no. I felt too busy, and I was like, what is he thinking, asking me if I would give a sermon? I thought, what would I share? I didn't know what I would share, but I kept thinking about this, and it actually flashed through my mind when Michael, our previous pastor, said, when you welcome this new pastor, never say no to your pastor if he asks you to help the church. I was like, well, I just broke that promise, that commitment. Anyway, so as I was thinking about it, that night when I went to sleep, while I slept, I dreamt of an entire sermon. I've never done this before. So I woke up, and I quickly ran to my journal, and I wrote everything down that I could remember. And then I asked my husband that morning, I said, I just can't believe this, but I just dreamt of an entire sermon. Do you think I should share it? And he said, well, I think you should. So if you want to blame anybody, can you blame my husband? So here I am because of his support. So anyway, this morning I would like to share with you what God gave me as I slept. In my dream, my thoughts kind of floated through the story of Joseph. And I have something. When we think about Joseph, we often think about the coat of many colors. And this fabric is just a beautiful example of what it must have been like. Maybe one example of what Joseph's amazing coat must have been like. Joseph was given a coat of many colors from his dad, but his brothers weren't given a coat. And they were very jealous of him for this. Later, so like my thoughts were just drifting over this coat. And then about a month later, I was teaching in the K-2 Sunday school class, and we were studying Joseph. And I had a lot of kids in the class that morning, and so I asked the kids to draw pictures of the different stages of Joseph's life. So I brought those pictures along. You can put them on the PowerPoint. The first one is a coloring that my daughter Alana did of Joseph's coat. This maybe Joseph's coat looked like this, maybe it looked like that. It's just interesting to think about it because it did make his brothers very, very jealous. I'm just going to skim over the story of Joseph, and if you want to know more details, I suggest to read Genesis 27 to 50. It is quite an interesting story. So no other son received this gift, and not only did Joseph get a gift like this, he also had these dreams, and when he told his brothers about these dreams, his brothers were like, they couldn't stand him anymore because in these dreams, the next slide, how do I do this? Oh, there you go. This is a drawing that Jay did in Sunday school, and in Joseph's dreams, it seemed like his brothers, it was symbolism for his brothers bowing down to him, and his brothers hated him even more for this. So because his brothers hated him so much, they wanted to get rid of him. And I can't imagine being in Joseph's place, being hated like that by my siblings. I've never felt anything like that. So one time when Joseph came out to the fields to his brothers, they decided together to throw him into the pit. And this is what, I think Joshua drew this. Did you draw this, Josh? Anyway, this is a drawing about Joseph being thrown into the pit and just imagining what that was like. So Joseph is thrown into the pit, and his brothers despise him. They want him dead. But one brother convinces him, don't kill him. I don't want his blood. You know, I don't want to have that on my conscience. So he convinced the other brothers to sell him into slavery in Egypt. And at this point, I'm thinking in my dream, what would it feel like to be so disliked that you're sold into slavery by your own flesh and blood? While he was in Egypt, God blessed him. He rose in power. And he was working for Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Potiphar's officials. And Potiphar's wife took notice of him and begged him to come and sleep with her. And day after day she begged him. And Joseph did the right thing. He refused. He said, if I do this, I will sin against God. She became so angry that she accused him of hurting her, and he later ended up in prison. And those blue bars are the bars of the jail. So and Donovan drew that. So now in my dream, I'm just imagining what it felt like to be put in prison for doing absolutely nothing wrong. And I just, you know, like if you really think about the story of Joseph, it's not just a sweet little children's story. This is some really tough stuff. Joseph did the right thing, and yet he was put into prison who knows how long. So while he was in prison, I know most of you probably know this story really well. There were two men in prison who had dreams, and they couldn't interpret these dreams, so they came to Joseph. They said, "Joseph, could you interpret these dreams for us?" And Joseph did interpret them correctly, and he said, "Now when you get out of prison, please tell Pharaoh about me so I can get out too." But they forgot about him, and he continued to stay in prison for 2 more years. I just thought of something. While I'm telling these stories, Alana, could you help me pass out these pictures to the children? And I would like the children to color what they think Joseph's coat of many colors looked like. Just pass that out to the children. If you have, you should have crayons and, you know, color with whatever you have. Okay, so Joseph's in prison for 2 more years after he interpreted these dreams. And at this point, if I really truly put myself in Joseph's shoes, I think I would start to be angry at God. You know, God, who has everything under control, is still letting me in this prison. I would ask God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And I did nothing wrong, and yet I'm being punished. But Joseph, as we know, some of you know this story, was remembered. And when Pharaoh had a dream, this is a picture of Pharaoh's dream. When Pharaoh had a dream, these two men, the cupbearer, remembered Joseph and said, "There's this man in prison, and I think he can interpret your dream." Now, this was done by Eden, Darity, and the stars represent the nighttime when he dreamt, and then the pictures represent the two different dreams that he had. So they went to Joseph, and they said, "Can you interpret this dream for us?" And Joseph said, "This dream means that you will have 7 years of plenty, where you have loads and loads of grain and lots of food, followed by 7 years of famine. So please appoint someone to save up all this food so that no one starves during the 7 years of famine." And Joseph was appointed, he was in charge of all of Egypt, helping the people prepare for the famine. Now during this time of famine, Joseph's brothers went to Egypt because they knew there was food there, and they didn't have anything to eat, and they were probably starving. And they went to Joseph. Joseph recognized them right away, but they did not recognize him. Just imagine if you were Joseph, how you would feel at this point. These brothers who wanted you dead, who sold you into slavery, they're in front of you, and they're begging you for their lives. I think it would be really tough for me. So I just, you know, just imagine how I felt. The Bible doesn't really say specifically how I felt, but I think it'd be really tough for me to know what to do. There are a lot of details in this part of the story that I'm going to skip ahead, but Joseph wanted to see all of his brothers. So he said, "Please go back. Do you have any more brothers?" And they said, "Well, we have one more brother, Benjamin." But they said, "Our father really doesn't want to let go of him." And he said, "Well, I will not give you food until all the brothers are here." So they said, "Well, we're desperate." So we went back to their father, and they begged the father, and the father let them bring Benjamin. And while all the brothers were there, Joseph said to them, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt for slavery. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." So Joseph chose forgiveness. I asked Kylie to draw a picture of forgiveness. And this is what she drew. But I think it's a pretty cool drawing, because I wonder if Joseph felt a little bit like that inside. Like, all these emotions. Like, on one hand, he wants to forgive because it's the right thing to do. On the other hand, maybe he was still angry at his brothers. I don't know. But he chose forgiveness. Then Joseph invited all of his family to move to Egypt. And Pharaoh took care of all their needs because he respected Joseph so greatly. And then later on in the story, when Joseph's father died, his brothers feared him again, and they came to him and begged him not to hurt them for what they had done to him. They threw themselves down at his feet, and they said, "We are your slaves." And Joseph again wept, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." So, you know, it's just a beautiful story of forgiveness. So God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Like I said before, Joseph could have been revengeful, but he chose to forgive. He could have given his brothers what they deserved, but he chose to focus on how God never left his side, and then brought good out of the situation, the saving of lives. So at this time in my dream, my thoughts began to float over other people who have forgiven. And one person that's really inspired me in the face of great trial and pain is Marie Roberts Monville. I read her book, One Light Still Shines, and it was such a wonderful testimony of commitment to Christ despite great pain. The thing that really struck out in her book was right after she found out what her husband did at the Nickel Mines School, she said, "I am going to wait expectantly and with hope to see what good God can bring out of this situation." And, you know, it must have taken so much courage for her to say that. But she really, really believed, and she said, "I'm just going to wait expectantly." And she really believed that God was going to bring good out of it. And in the end, God has brought a lot of healing to her and to her children and to so many other people as she shares all over the country her story. So the verse, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good," is Genesis 19 to 20. That's the verse that, that's the theme of my sermon. "Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.'" So I felt like in my dream, God was trying to encourage me to look at times in my life where I wasn't happy with what happened to me, but yet God used it for good. Another one of my heroes of the faith who has done this is Johnny Erickson Tada. I just have read her story so many times because she is so real, and she found hope in Jesus, even though she was in a very, very difficult situation. So when she was 18, she was in a diving accident, and she became paralyzed from the neck down. And she, for a long time, she went through a very hard depression. But eventually, with encouragement of her friends, they began to study the Bible together, and her mind frame changed. And as she studied the scripture, she began to see positive aspects of her accident, and God gave her hope. So now, on a personal level, this is another part of what I would like to share. When I was a child, I had this belief that if I did the right thing, if I believed in God and I obeyed God's teaching, that bad things wouldn't happen to me. I'm not sure where I got this belief, but it shaped my outlook on life. And when I was 18, I had to choose a place to go to college. This was a really, really hard decision for me. I just didn't know where God wanted me to go. So I prayed and prayed, and I cried out to God, and I just tried. I wish so bad I could have heard God's audible voice telling me where to go. But that didn't happen. I felt like I wanted to do music therapy because I studied music therapy in high school, but I just wasn't sure if that's what I should do. So the summer before I went to college, I did a short service term with Musicians Summer of Service with Youth with a Mission in Montana. So for 5 weeks, we practiced with our Christian rock band, and I played the flute, and it was very fun. We also studied the Bible. We prayed together. And then we had a four-week outreach in Venezuela. But during our time when we were praying and preparing for this outreach, one of the band members who didn't know me very well, we were praying together, and she said that God pressed on her heart encouragement to me and that I should read 1 Samuel 16. So she said, "Look this up. I'm not sure what it is, but look this up. I just feel like God's encouraging me with this, and I want to bless you with this." So she didn't know me very well. She did not know my personal struggle. So I opened up my Bible when I was by myself, and I read it. And it was a story about David playing his harp for King Saul to bring relief to Saul and kind of like help Saul not be so angry. And the music helped him cope. It helped him not feel so awful. And this was one of the first accounts of music therapy. And I had studied this when I studied and tried to think if I should study music therapy. So it was such an affirmation to me. When I read this, I felt like God was saying to me that I should study music therapy and I should go to temple because that was my first choice at the time. And I felt so encouraged and excited about the next chapter of my life. I just felt a lot of confidence. So I went to temple, and my time went well, you know, for the first 3 years I was there. And then the last year, everything just started to, you know, fall apart. I had a supervisor who didn't think I was doing a good job at my practicum. And the more she criticized me, the worse I did. And she was just really giving me a hard time. So my music therapy professors threatened to not let me graduate or not let me do my internship. But if I didn't do my internship, then I couldn't graduate. And I had done very well up until this point. So I was like, this is my life dream. I really, really want this. And so I tried harder and harder. And eventually they did let me do my internship. And the internship had some very high points, but it had some very low points for me. My supervisor there was difficult to please sometimes. Sometimes she thought I was doing a good job, and sometimes she really criticized me. And it was just a very hard time for me. And it was very emotional. I would get very emotional evaluations, and it was just very, very, very difficult. And At one point, I didn't know if they were going to let me graduate, but eventually they did. And by the time I did graduate, I was completely burned out. And at this time, I really began to question, why on earth did I, why did I choose Temple? It must have been a mistake, you know? So in my dream, God's just comforting me and saying, but look, there's good that came out of this, you know? So why would God lead me to a place where I would experience suffering, disappointment, and stress? If you don't know, one thing you might not know about me is that I am a planner. I like to plan. I like to work ahead. when I was young, I started babysitting at a very young age, around 11, and I never spent $1 on candy. I put all that money in the bank because I was going to go to college. And I had planned for this for so long. I had worked so hard. And all of a sudden, I felt like it was falling apart. And I was like, how could this be? I really trusted God. I tried to do the right thing. Why did God allow this? So I didn't have answers to those questions. After I worked for a short time as a music therapist, I was working very part-time. It was really hard to pay the bills working part-time as a music therapist. I chose to do a five-month program with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, once again. And during this time, I had a lot of downtime, a lot of free time. So I began to just spend a lot of time reading the Bible. And through that time, I read the book, What's So Amazing About Grace? And I read it very slowly. And I read it over and over and over again. And God began to break through my understanding of what it meant to be a Christian and my hard shell of I have to earn my salvation. And he began to slowly break through and say, you are a Christian because you love me and because I've given you this gift, not because of how good of a music therapist you are and not because of any works you do and not because you're an awesome Christian and you do the best for God and you're the best out there. It's none of that. You are a Christian and you are saved because I love you. And slowly, slowly, God began to get into my heart and heal me. And it was just a great time of healing for me. For years, I could not understand what good could come out of my years at Temple. I believed that God would never heal me. I often meditated on the verse, I will never leave you or forsake you, which is from Hebrews 13, verse 5. I believed that God loved me and would not leave me, but still I thought, what good could come out of it? So one passage of Scripture that I really wrestled with is from 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I know others have suffered more than me, so I can't say that, you know, I've had a hard life overall. However, I can say that in life, you have to make peace with certain things that come into your life and somehow give those to God so He can redeem them. I have not always learned to rejoice in my sufferings. I'm still working on that. I've longed to have relief from suffering, but I know that when I feel weak, when I'm out of my ideas, at the end of myself, I'm more open to hearing God's voice. at that point, I begged God to lead me, to teach me. So, on a positive note, years later, I could see how the experience of temple has changed me for good. You know, I haven't gone to temple for, a long time now. So, as you reflect and as you keep asking God to reveal to you His goodness, God is faithful. And so I just want to say some of the awesome things that happened because I did go to temple and because I went through this experience. The first thing is, there were a group of friends of us who were really, really close. We were strong Christians. And one person joined that group, but he wasn't a Christian at the time. And so after spending time with us and, talking to us about the Bible and hearing us sing worship songs to God, he eventually committed his life to Christ, and he's still very committed to Christ. So that was just an awesome experience to be able to see him give his life to Christ. And another girl who I met at temple, she had become a Christian. She had made a commitment to God, but she didn't go to church, and she didn't have any Christian friends. So, her relationship with God wasn't growing. And so I met her at a Bible study, and then we studied the Bible a lot together. We prayed together. She became my roommate, and then she later introduced me to my husband. So who knows, maybe I wouldn't have met him if it wouldn't have been for her. I learned how to play the guitar at temple, and I praise God for that. I also participated in a singing class, a voice class, and I was terrified to sing in front of people, and God helped me through that. I learned how to really listen to people and not judge them when they were going through a hard time. I learned humility and brokenness, which is positive because there's a lot of brokenness in this world. I grew in my understanding of music and became a better music teacher because of it. I learned how important it is to trust God even when you don't feel like He can be trusted or even when you don't feel like He's there. And through this, I chose to not forsake God and His people. And because I didn't turn my back on God, He blessed me through His people. And most importantly, I'm still learning this, but I've learned to look at life's circumstances differently. When something hurtful or awful comes into my life, I'm learning to choose to see the good that is coming out of the brokenness. For when I am broken, I need God more. So, Johnny Erickson Tada, like I said before, she's one of my heroes. I just read through her book again. And she says, pain and suffering have purpose. We don't always see this clearly. And she's someone who has experienced a lot of pain. Physical pain. The Apostle Paul suffered for Christ. His experience included imprisonment, beatings, stonings, shipwreck, and some physical thorn in the flesh. And the blessings of suffering, as J.B. Phillips interprets Romans 5:3-5. I hope you guys can read it. Sorry if it's too small. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character. A character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. So Joseph learned to hope and to forgive, and I hope that I can encourage you to do the same. We cannot always understand why bad things happen to us when we are trying to do the right thing, but we can be comforted that God will never leave us or forsake us. We can rest in knowing that God is walking with us through our situation. And like Joseph, we can choose to not be bitter. We can choose to trust God and say with confidence, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. This is not an easy thing to do, and I have wrestled with this, and I'm still wrestling with it. I'm still learning these hard lessons, but I'm trying to not fight against hard times and instead ask with hopeful expectation, what good is God going to bring out of this?" Romans 8:28, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." I realize these are really familiar verses, but I think we need to be reminded of them so that we live like we believe them. So often, it's easy to say them, but it's hard to believe it in our heart and walk it out. So right now, I would like to have a time of silence. As we think about circumstances God has redeemed or circumstances that we trust God will redeem in His time. And so ask yourself these questions. What circumstance has God redeemed for you? And what circumstance can you trust God will redeem in His time? So I just want to have a time of silence as we think about this and pray about this, and then I will close in prayer. Okay, let's close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship you, and thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for this time to come together and to learn from each other. God, I know that none of us like to go through hard times, and suffering is very difficult. And I pray, Lord, that you will work in our hearts and work in our lives to redeem painful situations and to bring us hope, that we may always cling to your hope, God, because we know that you are faithful and you will always carry us through every situation that we encounter if we just allow you to carry us. In your name we pray. Amen.